In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. I want to take you back to my college days, if we can think back that far into the past, when I started doing my own laundry. Now, I wasn't a complete doofus. I knew how to do laundry. My mom sent me with a container of starter size detergent. Halfway into the year, of course, I ran out. And so instead of buying more detergent, I just did wash without detergent. I figured the water was good enough. It didn't take that long to realize that without detergent, clothes did not get as clean. And by that, I mean they didn't get clean at all. And my buddies noticed first, and eventually I had to admit that getting dirty clothes wet without actually cleaning them does not make them smell better. It actually makes them smell worse. Adding to that, to the fact that I worked as a dishwasher part-time didn't help. So I had to finally buckle down and buy some detergent to add to the water. Now today in the church, we celebrate the baptism of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The story begins with John the Baptist baptizing crowds of people in the wilderness. They're coming to repent of their sins. They're coming to receive the washing away of the guilt of those sins. And they're coming to promise the beginning of a new and more righteous life. And in this endless line of sinners coming out to John, John spots Jesus. He sees Jesus coming, the one who is perfectly clean already, the one who is sinless, the one who is from God, and the one who is God incarnate. And John is like, "What are you doing in this line of sinners? It is I who ought to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me?" Now, Jesus insists for a couple of reasons. One of them is that he is identifying with his people. He is identifying with that long line of sinners. He's saying, "I have come to be one with them, to be one with my people. Though I am God incarnate, these are my people, and I stand with them in their condition." The second reason is that he is prefiguring his own burial. Baptism is a form of death. It's a death to the old self. And by Jesus being baptized, he is foretelling his burial as a sign and a foreshadowing of the death of mortal man and the birth of immortal man. A third reason, and the one I'd like to focus on this morning, is that the water needs Jesus. John the Baptist sees Jesus coming to baptism among the sinners as if Jesus is a piece of dirty laundry that needs cleaning. And to John, this doesn't make sense because Jesus is spotless. So Jesus says, in effect, "I am coming as the detergent. I am coming as the bleach," if you'll let me push the analogy a little bit further. "The water needs me. The water cannot clean without me. Without me, the water is just an outward sign of repentance." But like my failed laundry attempts back in college, water alone can't get you clean. Baptismal water without Christ is not baptismal water as we know it. It remains an outward symbol. But when Jesus Christ touches that water, when Jesus Christ's foot, when his first toe enters that water, the water itself changes. When God touches something, right? When God touches something, the something changes, whatever it is. God can't touch something without it changing. And so when Jesus enters the waters change. That's just a fact. The waters change. Baptism is no longer just an outward symbol of repentance, but becomes participation in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The baptismal water, because Jesus touches it, becomes a means of putting on Christ. Now, water is God's basic building block in creation. We often think, if you go back to Genesis, you think, what's the first thing God created? We often think of light being the first thing God creates. But it isn't. Before God says, let there be light, the water already exists. Let me read from Genesis, verse 2. It says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, it's got the word then right in there. Then God said, let there be light. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and then God said, let there be light. The waters were there first. God builds creation out of water. And then God also builds life out of water. The springs in the garden, the rivers that flow to water it. You know, human babies are close to 80% water when they're born. We get down to about 60% by the time we're adults. Plants cannot survive without water. We are formed of water, and we are formed in water, because God builds life out of water. And God also sanctifies with water. When God drowned sin in the days of Noah, he used water. When God rescued the Hebrews from slavery in Egypt, it was through the waters of the Red Sea. When God led Joshua into the Promised Land, he had them go the long way around so they could get to the Promised Land through the River Jordan. John's baptism was with water. Christian baptism is in water. Christian baptism in water is the actual participation in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ with water. The death of Christ comes to us through water. It's like, whoa. When Elijah defeated the pagan prophets, he first covered his offering three times with water. When Jesus cured the man born blind, he made him go wash his eyes in the pool of Siloam. When Jesus was crucified and the soldier took the spear and pierced his sacred body, out of that body came blood and water. Humanity, creation, is redeemed by the blood and water of Jesus Christ. Because water is God's tool of choice in the creation and sanctification of the world. Now, someone might ask, why do we still need holy water today? Can't we find God without it? Well, I'm not going to argue with you, but instead, I'm going to tell you a little story, because that's not actually a new question. Can't we find God without water? There's a Syrian general named Naaman. He had leprosy. If you want to look this story up, it's in 2 Kings. Anyway, Naaman had leprosy, which is a horrible, disfiguring, painful skin disease. And General Naaman heard that there was a prophet in Israel named Elisha that could cure him. So he goes to see Elisha with a bunch of horses and chariots and servants, and he knocks on his door and he asks to be healed. And so Elisha sends a messenger out. He says, go wash in the River Jordan seven times. That's Elisha's instructions. Well, General Naaman does not like that answer. It says Naaman became furious. He says, why can't you just say the word? Why can't he just call on his God? Why can't he just wave his hand over me and be done with it? So Naaman bolts away in rage and says, forget it. Now his servants catch up with him. They calm him down. You know, master, maybe just try it. Give it a try, they say. So Naaman goes to the River Jordan, and he dips in seven times. And I bet you know what's going to happen. He is healed by the grace of God of his leprosy. Why do we need holy water today? Ask Elisha the prophet. Ask Naaman if you must. Just don't walk away from a means of grace. Because God built creation with water. God builds life with water, and God sanctifies the world with water. Now, water on its own is an amazing substance. But still, just as that college kid had to learn that water needs detergent to clean, so John learned that baptismal water needs Christ in order to truly sanctify. When Christ touches the water is changed. Because water is indeed God's tool of choice in the creation and sanctification of the world. Amen.